First, when we think about leadership, our minds might go to people in positions of authority, elected officials, CEOs, coaches, military officers and non-commissioned officers, social movement leaders, that sort of thing. But our next guest says we can all provide leadership in our workplaces, communities, and in our daily lives. We'll talk about leadership and lessons we could all learn, and we want to hear your stories of leadership. Is there someone in your life now or in the past that you think of as a good leader? Not talking about the famous people now. Think of somebody in your town, your neighborhood, your workplace, your faith community. What makes them a good leader? And are you a leader in some way? What does that mean to you? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Nancy Kane joins us now for the conversation. She's a historian and James E. Robison professor at Harvard Business School. She's the author of Forged in Crisis, The Making of Five Courageous Leaders. Nancy, welcome back to the show.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Rob. Thank you.
Well, can we all be leaders, even if we're not in that traditional leadership position?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the world goes round. The boulder of goodness goes forward in the world by virtue of leaders of all, you know, walks of life, lots of, you know, different places and contexts in which people lead, you know, everyone from fire chiefs to chemo nurses to school principals to moms and dads. Leading is just a critical component of helping people, you know, walk the higher path or access their stronger self. So absolutely. And the interesting thing is we don't talk about leadership very much, except from the traditional pedestals, if you will.
Is there a default position that a lot of us have that, you know, we let those other people on those pedestals do the leadership job? We kind of outsource it and don't even think about it for ourselves.
I think there is a collective, often a collective default, if you will, just as you just said so articulately, that we think, well, this is a problem for a leader with a capital L. But lots and lots of, you know, the most important challenges are not the challenges of the headlines or the challenges of the latest social media blast. They're the challenges of, say, helping a parent with Alzheimer's or helping someone get through the emotional and physical battles of cancer, or the challenges of keeping, you know, public libraries open longer. The everyday, you know, battles that we fight are often some of the most important battles, and of course those are the confrontations that add up to the big headline. So I urge people in my book and in my coaching work and in my own little book, from my own little tiny bully pulpit, to think very seriously about not only the leaders they've known in their everyday life, but also what are the challenges that each of us are called to, and how does that help us? How do those define us as leaders in our own right?
We should maybe talk about what leadership is, because it might, one thing that might pop into my mind is a leader is someone who, you know, tells the other people what to do and then they do it. How can we expand our vision of what a leader is from that?
So that, you know, that's a great question. And leadership, of course, particularly in political and election years, is a term that has, you know, has become mind-numbingly cliche in certain pockets. But I like a definition of leadership that came from an American writer named David Foster Wallace. He wrote fiction and nonfiction. And many years ago, he traveled around when candidates for president were still using campaign buses. He traveled around on a campaign bus with a lot of media folks writing a profile of John McCain. This is the first time McCain ran for president. And he ended up thinking very seriously and then writing in the Rolling Stone magazine about leadership. And he wrote this, and I think it's, I would just ask your listeners to think about this, because I think it's very powerful. He said, "A real leader is an individual who can help us overcome the limitations of our own weaknesses and selfishness and laziness and fears and get us to do harder, better things than we can get ourselves to do on our own. An individual who helps us push through the boundaries or the barriers of fear and laziness and selfishness and weakness, and helps us do harder, better things than we can get ourselves to do on our own." And I think that's a fantastic, you know, kind of star to steer by as we think about leaders and the ultimate or fundamental role of leadership.
That sounds like a great definition. Sounds hard. How can somebody learn how to do that amazing thing?
So it is hard, and that's why we admire leaders. That's why we admire ourselves when we feel like we've done something that was an act of leadership, because we've done something hard, something we know was worthy, worth doing, but something that didn't, you know, we didn't like get on our iPhone and hit an app and said, lead now, right? That's not how it works. So I think part of the appeal of leaders that fit, you know, Wallace's definition, fit lots of our implicit ideas about leadership, is that they've done something hard. And the answer, how do we do this, is first kind of brick by brick. You know, Tacitus, the great Roman writer, once said Rome wasn't built in a day. It was built brick by brick. So making ourselves, like raising a child or, you know, forging through an illness or dealing with an addiction in a family or, you know, trying to open up access to a public service so more people can share it. All those things are done not in a silver bullet like, you know, one stroke way there, or, you know, by leaping a tall building in a single bound. They're done brick by brick. By every day we get up and we try and make a little bit of progress on this. And so it is with ourselves being made into better leaders. We pick people that we can learn from. Second, and maybe even more important than our role models, we choose a cause that we believe in or that we know we must embrace and that is worthy. Third, we decide that we're going to make ourselves, we're going to work on ourselves as a project and not work on ourselves necessarily to get thinner or, you know, have fewer wrinkles. It's a different kind of work. It's a work of from the inside out, not from the outside in. And fourth, we give ourselves enough slack and enough forgiveness to keep on trying even when obstacles crop up or we find we can't do it one day, to keep on keeping on. And, you know, this kind of, in some sense, very commonsensical way of thinking about the making of leaders is as true for Martin Luther King, right, trying to move civil rights onto the national agenda, as it was for Rachel Carson writing Silent Spring, a book that helped found the modern environmental movement, as it is of, you know, Marion Wright Edelman at the Children's Defense Fund trying to lobby and legislate for the interests of children all over the world. So this is a tried and true and far from easy but still very anchored way of thinking about making ourselves into better leaders.
We're talking about leadership with Nancy Kane, author of the book Forged in Crisis. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Who do you see as a good leader in your community, in your life, in your workplace? And do you lead in some way? Call 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Ryan is with us in Milwaukee. Ryan, hi.
How are we doing? Thank you for having me. Yeah, derived from the military. I spent some time on active duty and in the reserves. And I had a master chief who would say, what do you do in the absence of leadership? Do you lead? And that speaks to everybody being a leader. And as I started doing it myself and as I've taught other people who I've worked with in the sense of responsibility, leadership usually derives the best ones that look at it as a burden and not an entitlement to themselves. It's not a position of power that you can abuse, but it's a position that you want to set the example on being in.
Ryan, thank you so much. Couple really interesting things there, Nancy. I thought the idea of thinking of leadership as a burden, a responsibility, not an entitlement, not a source of a power over others, first of all.
Could not agree more. And I think, I mean, Ryan's, you know, opening salvo about, you know, and what his captain, his commanding officer said, when there is no leader, you must lead. And that, of course, we could apply to, you know, literally thousands of contexts and examples in our own lives and in the, you know, course of history, in the course of great events. So, you know, two thumbs up or strong agreement with him. And I think, but to the second point about leadership is a responsibility. And at times it is a great burden. I mean, every parent knows who, and parents are, you know, have to perform if they're going to raise, you know, healthy, curious, competent children full of, you know, who will ultimately have wisdom and goodness to offer the world. They and the capabilities to leave their parents and be okay, parents find themselves in moments where this is an enormous burden, the responsibility of trying to raise my child through this difficult moment or in these circumstances, and yet it's one that ultimately, I think, satisfied, serious people pick up, you know, throw over their shoulders, if you will, like a yoke or a cape of responsibility, and move, take the next few steps. So, yes, at times it's a burden. At other times it's a source of great identity and satisfaction. But throughout, it is, to Ryan's point, a grave and serious responsibility.
Ryan, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking about leadership in our daily lives. Nancy Kane is with us from the Harvard Business School. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there someone in your community or workplace that you think of as a good leader? Why is that? Do you see yourself as a leader? Do you think of yourself that way? Or do you have a question for our guest about how to develop maybe the leader inside you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about leadership with Nancy Kane, author of the book Forged in Crisis, The Making of Five Courageous Leaders. And we're looking for your leadership stories, examples, opinions, and questions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there someone in your life you think of as being an effective leader? Is that someone you? And what makes a good leader in the first place? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Brandy on Facebook, who said her old boss was a great leader because her boss taught her, supported her, and made everyone want to do a great job for her. Nancy, what do you think of that?
I think that's terrific. And that's, you know, that speaks again to the responsibilities of effective leaders to literally inspire people, right? To raise the bar, back to Wallace, do harder, better things, a great job than we would, you know, just kind of rolling through our day necessarily think ourselves capable of. So I think this is incredibly important, because here's the really interesting thing to both Ryan and Brandy's point. When you're with someone like Brandy is describing, like her old boss, you start doing things you didn't know you were capable of at a level you might not have done them before, a high level that you might not have done them before, and you start feeling kind of better about yourself and more engaged and just, you know, more seriously empowered on a worthy project. And the world benefits. Add that all up, you know, over millions of people, the world benefits from that kind of chain reaction. So I could not agree more with what Brandy's saying, and I've seen it over and over and over in my studies of both leaders, both past and present.
Let's go back to our callers now. Lisa is with us in Sheboygan. Lisa, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What do you want to tell us about Lisa?
Can I say a name?
Sure.
There's a wonderful woman by the name of Sharon Abel in Sheboygan, and she is a huge leader in the community, not in title, but in the way that she gets involved in Salvation Army. She teaches at the local technical college. She gets involved with inmates. And everything she does, not only does she better our community, but she invites others to do the same. And just leading by her example is such a beautiful thing to see.
Lisa, thanks so much for that call. And Nancy, I've been at, you know, local awards ceremonies for nonprofit groups and things like that. There are people like this in all these communities where, you know, whenever anything cool happens, you know, there's somebody like this behind it. A lot of unsung heroes out there.
Absolutely. And I, you know, if I could, you know, kind of flick a magic wand, it would be to tell more of these stories, particularly right now, because there's a lot of cynicism and toxicity around some of our public leaders and some of the large stages. And people like Sharon, they're people, you know, literally making the world go round for good things. I mean, from inmates to other kinds of, you know, to other kinds of nonprofit work to other activities, and they don't stop. The fascinating thing to me about all these unsung heroes, Rob, is, and Lisa, is that they keep on keeping on, and they themselves, by virtue of the example that Lisa was talking about, fire us up. to get involved, to take the plunge and or the leap of faith, and to start doing something that we hadn't been doing before that involves a worthy goal or a North Star to head to. And I think it's so important.
Lisa,
so
thank
you. Very important to consider these stories.
Thank you so much for sharing that story. Lisa, we'll go now to Tom with us in Madison. Tom, hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
We sure can. What did you want to bring up?
Okay, thanks for taking the call. I would like to hear the perspective on your guest's perspective on servant leadership, the idea of leadership that was promoted by a gentleman by the name of Greenleaf, who said that, you know, leaders really aren't out there leading the parade. Their job is to provide the skills and the resources and to hold people up.
Right.
And it's a completely different concept of leadership. So I'll just be happy to hear her perspective off the air.
Tom, thanks a lot for calling in. And we've got at Viterbo University in Western Wisconsin, a whole program on servant leadership. We've talked to them some about that. Nancy, your thoughts on servant leadership?
Yeah, I think it's really important, Tom. So when Howard Schultz, who was the man who helped create Starbucks and has taken a big position socially and politically with that company, read Forged in Crisis, he said, this is a book completely about servant leadership. And I hadn't thought about it that way. I had just written a book about people who discovered their true identity in helping other people do magnificent things, bit by bit, brick by brick. And then I got to thinking about what Howard had said. I knew Howard because I'd written Harvard Business School cases about Starbucks for 20 years, so I'd known him over the ages. And I got to thinking about it, and I agree with you, Tom. See, I think what I think of as worthy, serious, real leadership is ultimately servant leadership. It's not leadership for the purposes of aggrandizing one's own personal power. It's not leadership for the purposes of grabbing the gold off the table. It's not leadership ultimately, as I see it and teach it and coach it, for the sake of maximizing one's ego points. It is leadership where one's identity moves, as the German philosopher Martin Buber once said, from I to thou, or from I to we, where leaders discover their true identity, satisfaction, purpose, sense of impact in helping others become better, stronger, and do something good. So I am with you 100%, Tom.
Tom, thanks a lot for calling in. We're talking about leadership with Nancy Kane, author of the book Forged in Crisis. Back to your calls now. Kira is with us in Port Wing. Kira, hi.
Hi. I think leadership can be found in places that you didn't suspect. Someone here in Port Wing that's involved with the Disabled American Veterans, Casey Johnson, he mentored me and asked me to step into a position that I never dreamed that I could do as a local officer in our DAV chapter. And I did a much better job than I ever imagined I could. And I really was very reluctant, but I believe in the cause, of course. And since he mentored me, have mentored others and handed positions to others and delegated responsibilities to those that I wouldn't normally think could be a leader. And they have amazed me with their ability. So I think it's important to reach out and look for leadership capabilities where you might not normally suspect them. And just believing in someone can really make them step up and amaze themselves.
Love it. Kira, thank you for the work you're doing. Thanks for sharing the story. Nancy?
Could not, again, like, I just want to reach out and hug each of your listeners because I think these comments are so apt. So, you know, ultimately, effective, worthy, serious leaders, right, who are interested in good ends, do just what Kira's experienced. They inspire other people. They show them the way. She said, I did something I never knew I could do. Perfect example of, harder, better things than we can do on our own. But the other thing that Kira's comment points to is how it's not just Kira, right? The person that she knows and now Kira are going to pass that along, that encouragement, the highness of that bar, the belief in the person, which is so fundamental, and make a difference over and over again. And, you know, a really interesting example of this, someone that many people never thought of as a leader until, you know, until the beginning of the Civil War, was a man named Frederick Douglass, who met all of your listeners will know, the black abolitionist. And the people that believed in him along the way, that moved him along, and then the people he then passed it back to, all kinds of African Americans, all kinds of white abolitionists, and many, many hundreds of American women, because he, like Kira's mentor, became involved in many causes, including the fight for women's suffrage in the 18th century, I mean, in the 1800s. So it doesn't happen once, it happens over and over again, and it has this ripple effect.
All right, Nancy, just under a minute left. Somebody's heard Kira and our other callers and heard you and says, okay, yeah, maybe me. Where do I start? What do you tell them?
Well, in shameless salesman-like fashion, I must say, you know, you might want to read the book I have, because it's the story of how people did this, people that no one had ever heard of, people who didn't have connections, people who weren't pegged or, you know, had fairy dust sprinkled over them as to how to become a leader. So the story, these stories are stories of the making brick by brick of leaders, and there's lots of lessons in them. But that, but more importantly and more fundamentally, you start with thinking about what is the thing I want to do, what is the purpose I want to embrace, and then what are the steps I think I could take to do that, and what do I need to do within myself, step by step, everything from do I need to, you know, summon up more discipline, do I need to alter my daily routine, do I need to get and ask for mentorship help, even on a very surgical strike basis, each of the steps I need to take for myself as a leader, and then begin to take them systematically, step by step, and allow for plenty of mistakes and plenty of moments of falling off the higher path and then dusting yourself off and getting right back on.
Nancy, thanks a lot. Always good to talk to you.
A real pleasure. Thank you for having me, Rob.
That's Nancy Kane, historian and James E. Robison professor at Harvard Business School. She's the author of the book Forged in Crisis, The Making of Five Courageous Leaders. Still time for you to share your leadership stories over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.